So this is a picture taken out of the aeroplane, Wendell coming back into Skopje. Taking off and landing are really enjoyable for me. But they may make people apprehensive. And my wife is one of them people that gets a little bit nervous when the plane takes off and when it lands. Or when you get that sign that comes on, turbulence. Fasten your seat belts and sit down. Well, to be honest, I get a little bit nervous with that one myself. Because we're not in control. The pilot is. Isn't that funny? That we're not in control, but the pilot is. It's a funny thing. We think that we are in control of so much. We believe that illusion that we are in control. And in actual fact, we're in control of so little. And we are not the pilot. And we're all on a journey. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, we know our final destination. But we have an adventure before we arrive. And that takes us to a lot of different destinations. And folks, we are not in control. The Lord is. He is our pilot. They have the second slide, please. And I wanted to sum up this sermon in one line. I wanted to sum up this message in one line. And it took me a long time to figure through what the scripture is saying to me and to us. And what I came up with is what we do not yield to God, the devil takes control. What we do not yield to God, the devil takes control. We give control to the devil, anything that we do not yield to God. And we live in uncertain times. And like that turbulence sign in the plane, we may have anxiety because of them times. It could be the political unrest, not only in the Balkans, but throughout the world, with the Brexit in the United Kingdom, and I won't mention Trump, I promise, I won't mention him. But there is political uncertainty that causes anxiety. And there's lots of things that happen in our lives that seek to take our peace and trust in the Lord. You may have got a call from the doctor. You may have discovered a lump. You may have financial obligations that you're struggling to meet. Your marriage may be at risk. You may not be married and you're wondering if your life is frittering away and you're lonely. You could be struggling with lust and maybe have a secret addiction. You could be spending more money than you're actually earning, and that's causing anxiety and worry. You may have given yourself to temptation and find you're trapped with no way out. You may be facing an impossible situation, but nothing is impossible for the Lord. As we've heard from this scripture, if we go back to Dr. Tim's message way back when in chapter 4, when Jesus fell asleep in the boat, these hardened fishermen who were traveling with Jesus became terrified. These men that have fished on the Sea of Galilee for many, many years were so distressed and so disturbed at this storm that they thought their very lives were at risk. And they wake up Jesus and he commands the storm to be silent. And in amazement, they whispering to each other, "Who is this? Who is this man, God, that even commands the weather and it obeys him?" So we pick it up in chapter 5. Mind, it happens. The next slide. No, sorry, that one. I didn't realize you'd already pressed it. This man lived amongst the tombs and nobody could bind him, not even with chains. So imagine the desperation of this man. He was so ousted and ostracized and outcast that he lived amongst the dead. He wasn't welcome. He was so possessed and tormented that he used to cut himself with stones and cry out and scream for relief as he was tormented with this legion of demons. Day and night, he would cry out and cut himself. And Jesus saw him from a distance. And he ran and fell on his knees in front of Jesus. Imagine the desperation of this man. And what sin had caused this total possession. I'm sure when he started out his life, it wasn't like that. I'm sure it was a progression of sinfulness that took over his life that led to this desperate, desperate situation. Institutions are full of these people. There's a phenomenon of young people self-harming, cutting themselves with knives and objects. People have tried to bind him, but they were unable to because he broke the chains. The problem is when we address a spiritual problem with a physical solution, we come unstuck. This man's problem wasn't a physical problem. And the doctors do not have the answer for people who are cutting themselves, that they so despise who they are that they're cutting themselves with a knife. They need Jesus. When animals are in confined captivity in a zoo or very small cages, birds are known to pluck their own feathers out because of the distress. And animals will tear their fur off their body because of the confinement. Eagles are meant to fly, and so are we, to soar on the wings of God's Spirit. When we're caged, when we're, dare I say it, influence so much that we are prisoners, there is some good news that Jesus came to what? Jesus came to set the captives free. He did indeed, but the verse before that said he's came to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. And that is the issue. A broken heart. And God came in the form of man through Jesus Christ to bind up the brokenhearted and then set the captive free. This demon possession started out as a heart issue with unmet need that he tried to fill with sin. And while depravity gives temporary relief, it does not satisfy. It does not satisfy. Anything that it promises you, the freedom and relief it promises you, it binds you more and more and more. And anybody that struggled with any addiction will know that. The more that you indulge with it, the more it gets a grip on you. An addiction never gets better. It gets worse and worse until the foothold becomes a stronghold, and eventually that stronghold can lead to possession, and in this case, total possession. The Bible tells us clearly we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We are not each other's enemies, but we fight against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. Demonic powers. And we have power through God to pull down them strongholds. To pull them down. But we don't do it with knives, guns, or bullets, because the weapons of this warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of these strongholds. And that is prayer. That is God's presence, yielding and bending the knee to God in them particular circumstances and giving control to God. Because those things we do not give to God, the devil will take control. We don't need more knowledge of the Bible. We need more application and more sanctification. The Pharisees knew the Bible completely, but they were in total bondage. Knowledge puffs up, application and sanctification. And obedience sets the captive free through the power and mercy and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Slide, please. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to me that you won't torture me." For Jesus said he had come out of this man, you evil spirit. And Jesus asked him his name, and he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A legion is a Roman battalion of 6,000 troops. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hills. The demon begged Jesus, "Send us amongst the pigs, let us go into them." And he gave them permission. And the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank and into the lake, were drowned. Jesus has full authority in heaven and on earth and everything in the earth and everything in the universe. Several commentators have suggested that this narrative isn't just about setting a man free. That it was a poke at the Roman occupation of Israel. That these were representations of the occupation. And Jesus was making a statement that he has power over everything. That he is sovereign over the demoniac, over the demons, over the country, over the world, over political affairs. The 10th Roman battalion, which was responsible for invading Israel and Jerusalem in AD 70, was a brutal battalion. And their mascot, not a cuddly toy, their mascot on their shields, on their swords, and on their flags was one of a wild boar. So some commentators say that this Jesus, by doing this, when they're saying, "Do not send us out of this land," Jesus was displaying his sovereignty, not only in setting this man free, but by declaring to the universe his power. The next slide. Nowadays, this Roman Empire, which was so powerful, which was so glorious in might and power. Felix, Caesar, and Nero, we call our pets and our domesticated dogs and cats. Paul, Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the names of the sons of men. God is sovereign over this universe. Jesus Christ is sovereign over this church, over Skopje, over the Balkans, over this world. Next slide. This is a couple of pictures of the legions. The first one was an artifact that was found, and this one is a copy of a flag. The next slide, please. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and many were afraid. And he begged to go with Jesus. He begged him that he could come. And Jesus told him no. To go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell all in of how much Jesus had done for him. Bit of a tongue twister there for me, sorry. So from the devil's demoniac to Jesus evangelist. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is holding you back today? What is holding me back today? Is there a sin? Is there a struggle? Is there an area of our lives that we're unwilling to bring into the light? Because what we don't yield to God, the devil will take. The devil will take it. So every area of our life must be yielded to God for our benefits and for the people around us and for our family or friends and the church. What difference would that make to you, to your wife, to your colleagues, to your family, if you were able to give it up? Could you imagine the change it would bring? Would you be willing to try that? Even for a week, for a few days maybe, that we would pray to ask God, not for the other person's problems, because that's easy. We all see the blind spots in other people. That's the easy part, but the Bible is a mirror. We can't change anybody else. And we can't even change ourselves. But with God's help, when we yield, when we bow the knee to our Lord Jesus Christ and say, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. We can change. What has hold of you today? Are you lost in the grip of sin? If you are, Jesus can set you free. Are you out of God's will and trapped by pride and by bitterness? Jesus can set you. Do you need a touch from the compassionate Savior? Jesus can touch you. Are you struggling with sexual temptation? Jesus can help you. We're all imperfect people, friends. We're all imperfect people. And we're all on a journey. And it's turbulent sometimes. And it's not the seat belts that are going to protect us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that mercy triumphed over judgment. We thank you, Lord, that you came to set the captive free, to bind up the brokenhearted, and set liberty for those in dungeons and prisons, O Lord. And you did that 2,000 years ago, and you've done it down the corridors of time, and you're doing it today and tomorrow, O Lord. I pray that we right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you can illuminate the darkness in our own experience. The fear, the pride, the temptation, and the lust. Them locked rooms that we hide away in, we fantasize in. Lord, come and open the door. Smash the lock. Heal our hearts. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.